Hello, pleasure lovers, and welcome to another exciting episode on the Pleasure Talks podcast. I am so excited today. We have the amazing Corey B. She's a sex educator, and we're going to be talking a lot about kink, cannabis, dominance, and so much pleasure. This is going to be so juicy. I'm so excited for you guys. And I just want to say thank you so much for all of your listeners. This podcast has been absolutely beautiful to get off the ground. As many of you guys know, we do a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode. All of our episodes are not meant to treat, cure, or diagnose anyone for the use of cannabis. This is an amazing platform for women to share their own stories on cannabis and help other women around the world. So I'm excited for Kink and Corey today. So let's dive on in, guys. Get your bongs, get your papers ready, get comfortable, and let's get juicy. So how are you today, Corey? Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing good. I've had a productive day. I actually smoked a little cannabis to have that productive day. So I'm ready to kind of transition now into the after work hours.
I love it. Yeah. So many people don't know that cannabis can actually really help you with motivation and focus and energy. It's all about finding those right strains that work for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I was noticing I was almost kind of struggling with like some cannabis stigma in terms of not feeling motivated and feeling like I shouldn't smoke during the day or like when I'm working and stuff like that. And then yesterday I was just like, I'm just gonna smoke and then write a bunch. And I got so much done. And all it took was just like a few hits from a joint and I was like ready to go. And I did the same thing this morning and I've basically just redesigned my whole website. So yeah, it's amazing how motivating certain strains can be, which is crazy because obviously the typical idea of what cannabis does is kind of slow you down. So it's cool to see that there's different strains that you can experiment with for different effects.
I love it. Yes. Creativity. Care to share what strain that was this morning?
Ooh, the strain that I smoked today. I think it was leftover from a joint from last night. I think it was called The Sauce.
Yum. I think that's right. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I'll have to check what the lineage is there, but I think there's some Gorilla Glue in it. So I think that's kind of why I was like,
oh, nice.
Up and yeah.
For sure. Cool. That's amazing. I love how you're so comfortable with cannabis and you're also a sex educator. Obviously here at Pleasure Peaks, we like to combine the two. I think they're so beautiful when used together, especially with intention and practice. So I wanted to really know a little bit about you. So how did you really discover cannabis?
So I smoked cannabis for the first time the summer before my senior year in high school. I didn't get high. I was in Philadelphia actually for a summer like high school program, and we were in the park and these like two older women in like their like 40s or 50s came over to our group and were like, "We're not going to smoke the rest of this. Do you want it?" And we were like, sure, I guess. And then we like had all this weed and it was like already ground. And we were like, what do we do with it? And my friend like ran to a corner store and grabbed an apple and we smoked out of an apple. So that was like kind of my introduction to cannabis and kind of, through the end of my high school years and into my college years is when I really started to experiment with it and consume in different ways. I started experimenting with things like edibles and glass pieces and kind of just discovering this kind of beautiful world of cannabis. And I really liked getting really into all the strains and experimenting with that and learning how it affected my body individually too.
I love that. What a generous offer from a woman in Philadelphia.
Right? I'm still so shocked that they did that, but thank God they did, or else maybe I wouldn't be here.
Right, exactly. And now you're into glass and all of these other types of methods of consumption, which is absolutely beautiful. So it's grown since then, obviously.
Yes. And just, it's, I, I've been really blessed in how I've been able to kind of combine it with my other love of sex education and kink coaching and, you know, all these other things. Cause I feel, you know, like you said, they go together so well. They're such a good pair, just sexuality or sensuality, and cannabis. They just work off of each other beautifully.
I know. I'm so excited for this episode. Can you tell us more about yourself, what it's like being a kink coach, in the day of, you know, when cannabis is so vibrant right now and trending, especially for sexuality? What's it like being a kink coach?
Yeah, being a kink coach, I love that aspect of the work that I do. BDSM is something that has been so monumental for me. It's been so healing. It's allowed me to explore parts of myself that are now huge parts of my identity. It allows me to connect with my body. And I really love kind of combining the you know, BDSM play and cannabis as well, because of how it allows you to get into your body, as you know, going along with BDSM as well. So I love being able to teach people how to kind of go about exploring kink or kind of rearranging their existing dynamics. I've definitely gotten some clients who are curious about how to combine kink and BDSM, kink and cannabis. And it's one of the, it's a way that I can get creative and help my clients express themselves in really unique ways.
I love it. Yes, cannabis, as I say all the time, just really allows us to let go of our boundaries, to give in, right? So it lets us really give into those pleasures and our own sensuality in our space. For our listeners that are in tune right now, you know, could you go a little bit more in depth in what exactly BDSM is?
Yeah. So BDSM is a kind of complex acronym. The BD stands for bondage and discipline. There's a DS that stands for dominance and submission. And the SM stands for sadism and masochism. A lot of people are surprised that that S doesn't actually stand for sex. BDSM is its own thing entirely. And it's all about playing with power, different roles, getting creative, exploring different kinds of sensations. Exploring pain as a sensation that is actually positive rather than negative. It's such a vast world of things that you can do. And I always talk about what's so special about kink is that you can make anything kinky. You could literally make a task of doing the dishes kinky, or you could, you know, make getting your partner a glass of water kinky. You can add power exchange to anything at all. And that's why I love BDSM so much, because it allows us to kind of explore these creative depths that maybe you wouldn't otherwise.
I absolutely love everything she is saying, ladies. Are you hearing this all? I am so excited. As a tantra coach, I'm absolutely obsessed with the dynamics of energy exchange and shifting between masculine and feminine energy, between partners, between certain instances, between role play. And I love using cannabis in those instances as well, just to go even deeper into those roles.
Yes.
So I have a question. How do you think cannabis is used when it comes to your kink coaching? Like, I can clearly see it as a tool. What are some tips that you might be using with your current clients?
So something that I love about cannabis is that it can kind of safely lower our inhibitions, but also kind of keep us on that level where we're still able to provide informed consent. Even if you're not a super experienced cannabis user, you can consume it at such a slow pace and in such small doses. You can really take your time getting comfortable with it. And you can also feel comfortable exploring new things that you might feel insecure or worried about if you were sober. So that's kind of why I personally feel okay using cannabis with kink versus other substances like alcohol or things that could impair my ability to consent. So it's definitely used as a tool to just relax people for sure. And there's also actual kinks that involve the use of cannabis, like so there's like forced intoxication is one of my favorites, where it's I think you see it more with alcohol, but that's actually like a super hard limit for me. But I love when my partner forces me to consume cannabis, usually through a joint or if we have like a vape pen or something. I love being told to like keep going, keep going, keep going. And then I'll cough a bunch and then I'll get really high. And then I just get kind of deeper into that elevated state of mind. And I really, really love it because I still feel in control, or I still feel like I can communicate my boundaries and my desires the whole time.
I absolutely love that. As a submissive person myself in the bedroom, I love, I feel that. I love that idea of that forced consumption, because I feel for me as a submissive person and me as a very feminine person, that is me giving that power to that other partner that I'm exploring with. So that's a very beautiful connection that I saw that you make, which is, I'm so excited for your work. And then you brought up another point, which is so like head on the nail, which is consent. There's a huge difference when it comes to cannabis and alcohol, but even me personally, I love alcohol and sex. I can't, deny it. It's really fun to, be a little bit more relaxed and a little inebriated. But when it comes to cannabis, you can really be baked, but you still have your consciousness is very much there. You are still making those choices. And I think that's really important for a lot of women, because one of the most important things to have a really pleasurable sexual experience is also to feel comfortable and safe, right? Yes. So especially when it comes to people who are looking for cannabis for the first time, and including it with sex, that could be a lot just to combine the two alone. And that's a really good tip for our listeners. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when it comes to your playing in roles with maybe let's talk about partners and dating and sexual experiences. So do you find that cannabis can also help not only just in the sexual play, but also in intimacy and relationships? What are your thoughts on that as a sex educator?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, cannabis, one of the beautiful things about it is that it's something people connect over. It's used as a tool to get to know people, just like we get drinks, with our friends. I love being able to connect with new partners or existing partners over a joint, or, maybe eat an edible together and kind of have an adventure. So, and I think, we see it all the time on dating profiles of people being like, 420 friendly, or, only looking for people who smoke weed. You have it as an option now on certain dating apps where you can disclose your level of consumption, which is super cool. So I think, cannabis not only is a great way to connect, but it's also kind of become a non-negotiable for some people. I know it certainly is for me, because I love being able to smoke with my partners. And while I don't expect all of my partners to necessarily smoke with me every time or anything, I definitely can't date someone who wouldn't be comfortable with me consuming, because that's just, that just really wouldn't work out. So
it's incredibly important, like for sure, 1,000%, especially for myself included. But I know not for everyone, but it's definitely a conversation worth having if you are a consumer, 1,000%, just because you really never know what a person's thoughts are on this. Because, a lot of us are really accepting of this cannabis plant, but we've been going through the war on drugs forever. And it's completely fair that people still have that stigma. It's unfortunate, but it's still very much prevalent.
Absolutely.
I noticed you said you said one of my partners. But I wanted to touch on polyamory, because I love polyamory. It's something that I tried when I was around 21, when I got engaged super early, and I was kind of freaking out, feeling like, I don't even know what I like sexually, let alone how can I give that to a person? I felt all this huge pressure, and I brought it up with my partner, and we ended up trying it for years, and we actually had so many amazing sexual experiences and learned so much about what we liked. That's really when I got to learn about submissive dominance and daddy-daughter play, which I'm super obsessed with. But yes, would love to hear from your standpoint on, what are some benefits of cannabis and polyamory, of course, or just polyamory in general for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, polyamory opens up so many doors, and just non-monogamy in general, whether you're polyamorous, meaning you can love more than one person at the same time, or if you're in an open relationship and maybe you just play with others with your partner. There are so many different configurations and different dynamics when it comes to non-monogamy. And something that I love about non-monogamy so much is it really encourages you to craft your relationship from scratch. There's this concept of like the relationship escalator, you know, this very kind of typical path that we like to go down in relationships. You know, we start dating and maybe we start fucking, or maybe the other way around. And, you get more serious, you get married, you have kids, it's the whole, American dream, so to speak. But what I love about non-monogamy is it really challenges you to kind of step off that relationship escalator and think about, okay, what are my needs as a person? What are my sexual needs? What are my romantic needs? What are my friendship needs? What do I want my schedule to look like? And how can my relationship be something that supports that and allows for me to grow rather than something that inhibits me or makes me feel trapped in a way? And I know for me, like, I started exploring non-monogamy because I felt very trapped in a lot of my relationships. When I was dating people in college, I always kind of ended up in a non-monogamous relationship. We'd either start having threesomes or we kind of opened things up to, it was like I tried a don't ask, don't tell situation for a while, which didn't work out too well. But I learned and now I've been able to really kind of grow that part of me and also allow it to kind of ebb and flow as necessary. Like right now I'm quarantined with my partner and we obviously haven't seen any other people. So we're kind of playing these weird monogamous roles right now. That's kind of foreign to me. It's been a really long time since I've been in a situation that feels and looks like monogamy, even though I'm still polyamorous, regardless of how many partners I have at the same time.
Amazing. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love what you said, how it's so personalized. You know, no one polyamorous relationship looks like the other. Majority of the time, it doesn't look anything like it. But it really is an opportunity for you to figure out what exactly you like sexually, romantically, relationship-wise in your life. And it's a great opportunity to really just question all of the things that you were brought up with and really if they align with yourself, if they make sense for yourself. And I think that's just such an empowering thing to do. You know, it definitely takes a lot of courage to break that mold. But if you're feeling that's something that you would like to try, I would definitely recommend it. Like we've mentioned on the podcast, it's really personalized. So if you want to do it alone, you can. If you want to do it with partners, you can. If you want to figure it out and open that conversation, it's such an amazing opportunity. And I'm so happy that you brought it up.
Yeah. And I think it's also just such a good way for you to really start like level up your communication skills with your partner. Because if you're going to be a non-monogamous person and you're going to date people, you have to be so good at communicating. You have to be so good at voicing your needs and voicing your boundaries and voicing when your boundaries change or when you learn something new about yourself. It really challenges you to kind of step that up, which I really like. And I honestly think that even people who are monogamous really could benefit from some of the kind of principles that we talk about in polyamory, like communication and consent and things like that, because monogamous people get jealous just as easily as polyamorous people do. It's just all about having the tools to navigate it and stuff, which there are so many out there. There's books, there's podcasts, there's articles, there's everything. There's so much information now. Like, honestly, now is the best time in the history of humanity to start polyamory because you have so many resources compared to, 20 or 30 years ago when this was something that was still very much practiced, but it just wasn't talked about as much. So yeah, now's a better time than ever.
For sure. And I love what you said because communication, I guess, was such a huge part of my growth in that polyamorous state. I really found the power within my voice. It really was it really opened me up to receive so much more pleasure and not just feel so, you know, of service to people, but to really just reclaim my own pleasure. So
yeah, you don't have to like tailor your interests to your partner's interests. You can find where your desires overlap naturally, and then you can be able to seek those other desires that maybe your partner doesn't share with you elsewhere, while you're also still receiving the love and support from your partner.
I know, it's amazing. Another tip I would love to add for our listeners, because I love you guys. There's an app called Field, F-E-E-L-D. I loved it. That's the app I instantly downloaded when I wanted to be poly, because you can create an account and explore with other people who are also very sexually curious. And you can basically put on your account things that you're interested in doing, like kink, BDSM, or cannabis. And you can really find someone that matches with you. And I think that's so beautiful, because majority of the times it's no strings attached. You know, you can form those own relationships, but it's a great learning sexual experience for sure with that app. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I remember when Field was like Thrinder, like the very beginning of Field, because it started as a threesome app.
Yeah.
And then it kind of expanded into being just a general sex positive app, which I'm so happy there's a space for that now, because that was definitely a big gap for a while.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited about sex tech. Sex tech is super cool.
Yes. I love sex tech. It's just such a, like, people think, you know, sex robots when they think of sex tech, but sex tech is so expansive and there's so many different categories. And
I think of research and data and sex toys, you know, yes, and vibrators. There's so much
everything.
Fun to it.
And like, some of my favorite sex tech has been like sex toys for people with disabilities, and figuring out how you can feel pleasure if you are numb in certain areas of your body, or, you know, different ways to feel pleasure. It really kind of just expands beyond those levels of creativity, and it's beautiful.
Of course. Yes. It's an amazing industry to be a part of. And just going back to cannabis and polyamory, mm-hmm, and a place where we're exploring our sexuality, my favorite place. Do you think cannabis was a really good tool and helper for you to explore your sexuality?
I definitely think, like, cannabis, kind of going back to how it kind of lowers your inhibitions a little bit, it's definitely helped me become more comfortable communicating with my various partners. If I'm nervous to maybe tell my primary partner that I'm interested in someone, we can smoke together, and then I'm instantly kind of relaxed. So I think, you know, that aspect of cannabis has been definitely super helpful in navigating polyamory, just kind of maintaining my anxiety levels, or maybe I'm feeling kind of like polysaturated, like overwhelmed with, mm-hmm, all of the dates and you know, partners that I'm having, which is the best problem to have definitely in the world of poly. But you know, in situations like that, I can always turn to cannabis to kind of ground me and center myself. I love kind of using it as a tool to slow down kind of get back to why I'm doing this in the first place, which is ultimately to give and receive as much love as possible.
Mm-hmm, that's the goal.
Yep.
So for our amazing cannabis enthusiasts and lovers who are listening right now, do you have any tips that they can really just start to delve into some kink in cannabis? Do you have any tips?
Yes. So like we mentioned earlier, forced intox is one of my favorites, but, mm-hmm, if that's maybe something you're not sure about, I would recommend kind of using cannabis as a way to kind of transition yourselves into that power exchange. I do think it's important to negotiate while completely sober. It's completely up to you and your personal relationship with cannabis. But when I'm negotiating a dynamic or a scene, I really want to make sure that I'm on top of that and I know what I'm getting into. But once it's time to actually get into that scene, I really love rolling a joint and kind of using that as a ritual to transition into that power play. Almost using the joint that I'm rolling to give my power to whoever I'm playing with. It's really fun to do that. And I also think using topicals is a really awesome way to incorporate cannabis into your kink and sex life. even if you don't necessarily live in a legal state or an area where it is legal, you can make your own canna oil at home. And that can be used as a lubricant, just not with condoms though, because oil breaks down condoms. So I've definitely used like CBD oil for like after an impact scene where like my butt's all bruised up and I want to give it some love. So I think there are just so many creative ways that you can incorporate cannabis into kink. It's really just the limit is your imagination. So if you can think it, you can do it.
I love it. It really is because we have so many different strains to choose from and they're all different experiences. So it's kind of never ending.
Yes. I love using cannabis for aftercare as well. Like the one thing I always want after I do a really intense kink scene, I'm like, someone put a joint in my mouth. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I'm ready to wind down. I just want to chill, relax. And it's like always the best way. It always like puts me to sleep. And I'm just like, I feel so happy and gooey and floaty and mushy. It's the best.
It really is. I'm super pro that as well. I like what you also mentioned when it came to deciding sober. It's such a simple way to just take note of that, you know, especially if you're new to cannabis or doing the overconsumption method.
Yes, definitely.
It's definitely important to have those discussions after. So how would you recommend bringing up those discussions? How do you do it?
Yeah, negotiation is super important. And I honestly wish more vanilla people did it too. I think like negotiating and aftercare are like the two things that anyone who doesn't identify as kinky could really benefit from. Having a conversation about what are your desires? What are your interests? Did you want to try something new? Or did you want to do something a little different that time? Just being able to kind of, you know, make a blueprint for the experience that you're about to have so that when you're actually doing it, that voice in your head that's, you know, telling you, are they liking this? What if I'm doing something wrong? Like, does that feel good? I don't, you know, that voice can just go away and shut up because you've already had that conversation. Another tool that I like to use when negotiating is the if X, then Y kind of situation. So for example, in like a kink scenario, I can say like, if I become nonverbal, like it's time to slow down. Because sometimes when we enter those altered spaces of, you know, subspace or top space, we can kind of forget some of the things that we negotiated. So that's why it's really great to be able to communicate that. And if you know that you're going to do something, or maybe you want to put limits on yourself to be mindful of your safety or your mood at the time, you can say, you know, once my butt turns this color, I'm done. And that's when I want to stop, you know, so that you don't have to say for it in the middle of a scene, or you don't have to kind of cut the moment. You already kind of pre-negotiated that.
I love it. It's so incredibly important. And like you mentioned, I think that a lot of people outside of kink can really benefit from that. I absolutely hate, and I don't like to use the word hate, but I don't like being on a date and a person just, you know, pulls out their dick as if it's just like nothing. And it's just like, it's amazing, but it could be so much better with a simple conversation. I don't think that people see the full aspect of sex rather than, you know, a few pumps and we're done. There's a whole world of pleasure that is out there for you to explore and delve
and
into.
Even with casual sex too, you know, I'm a huge proponent that there can be amazing energy exchanges with one night stands. Some of my favorite sexual experiences have been one night stands, and I love them because I'm not trying to make them anything less or more than what they are. They were just an amazing experience. And sometimes those specific experiences only happen once or twice. And I love that there's just such a wide variety of ways that you can explore intimacy with different people and in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. And with those one instant, like those casual stands are totally necessary for conversation beforehand. And
absolutely.
It just makes it all worthwhile. It really does.
Definitely.
Yeah. So this has been a very juicy conversation. I'm really happy about this one. So for our listeners at home, what are your favorite strains to smoke and why?
So my favorite strain of all time is Gorilla Glue number 12. I'm pretty sure it won the Cannabis Cup back in like 2014, I want to say. But it's a really strong sativa. It has a really low CBD content. But I really love it. It wakes me up. It motivates me. It makes me kind of like chatty. I just really love the way the head high feels. And even though it's kind of a low CBD content, I can still feel like the perfect amount of body high where I can still get up and move and feel my body and kind of have that heightened state. But I'm also still very in control and not anxious at all. That's definitely my favorite sativa. If I had to choose the favorite, I don't smoke that indicas as much, but my favorite hybrid is probably Girl Scout cookies. It's a good one. It's a classic.
Giggles. But the Gorilla Glue is also amazing because it's all over California. I smoke it all the time, and it's just such a potent strain. Anyone who has dabs always has Gorilla Glue for some reason.
Yes. Yes, I've definitely noticed that. Yep. Yep.
But it's good for dabs because dabs are, you know, shatters and extracts and rosins. They provide a very clear-headed high for those people that want higher potency, bigger dosages, but want that very clear head. So it definitely just totally makes sense. You know, just listen to all of these amazing cannabis consumers we know.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite preference to consume? Is that joints or?
I love rolling joints. Like rolling joints is like my thing. It's like kind of like my love language. Like if I'm into someone, I'm going to roll them a joint. And I love being able to share that with people. I actually won a joint rolling contest it was a Zoom 420 party. And it was like with a big group of my friends and we all did a rolling contest and I won. So I'm very proud.
That's pretty impressive.
I think my friend made like certificates for the various winners of the different like contests.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was like, I have that on my wall behind me.
I know. I'm like, I'm waiting for it to come in the mail.
That's amazing. I love it. You know what's so funny? And our listeners are going to laugh. So hard. But a secret of mine is I like literally don't know how to roll. Like
stoners don't. Like it's so funny. But yeah, I've felt like so many people. I've always been like the token joint roller of the relationship or the friend group or whatever. I know so many people that just use glass, which is totally okay. But I've always, I love the kind of like ritualistic aspect and that I get to like sit down, slow down, take a breath, and then like focus on this one thing. And it like really relaxes me being able to move my hands. And yeah, but no, I know so many people that have no idea. I'm currently teaching my partner how to roll a joint. He's getting better.
Practice takes perfect for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm such a bong girl. Like I have been for so many years and I just always had someone rolling joints for me. I never had to do it myself. So I like to keep it that way. That's my own power play that I like to do.
There you go.
But yeah. And you know, rolling a joint is my love language. Like, can I have that on a t-shirt? Like,
I really should like, that should be part of my branding or something. I should definitely make a coffee mug or something.
But yeah, so any last tips? This has been a phenomenal episode. Thank you so much for everything, Corey.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's so nice to have all walks of life in the sex industry on this podcast. And you know, I really wanted to get kink in there and polyamorous in there. And I think we really hit it on. Do you have any last tips or tricks for our listeners here? Or where can they find you too?
So you can find me on Instagram at Miss Corey B. That's MISSCORYB. You can find me on Twitter at Miss_CoreyB or my website, MissCoreyB.com. I am still working during this pandemic. I'm very lucky to be able to offer all of my services virtually, but the best way to keep up with me is definitely Instagram and Twitter. I'm trying to think of a fun tip to give to the listeners. We talked about making your own oil at home, but I don't know. I think now is such a fun time to kind of explore those new things. So And everyone's baking now. So everyone's upping their cooking skills. So if that's you, try making your own can of oil, and you can use it for food, or you can use it as is, as a massage oil or as a lubricant. You could put some in your bath. There's so many different ways that you can experiment with cannabis in quarantine. And also, I think, use it as a modality of self-care. I've definitely been using it to kind of keep my spirits high and keep my motivation going.
I love it. Yeah, it's so incredibly key for so many beautiful things. And yes, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in as always. I love you all. We have an amazing episode coming up next week with the amazing Lizzie Jeff. She's a cannabis high priestess, and I'm so excited for that one as well. So tune in for that one, and we'll see you next time. Ciao.